Hello, this is Mark Peacock, and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. This is Travel Commons Podcast number 14, recorded Sunday, September 11th, 2005. Our topics today, comparing airport experiences at different ends of Interstate 40, a special edition of Classic Travel Stories, Recollections from the week of September 11th, 2001, and a great travel song. This week, coming to you from the Civic Center Marriott in Durham, North Carolina, possibly one of the smallest bathrooms that I've done a podcast from. Last week was a lot of travel in a short week. Tampa, Florida, Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, and Washington, D.C. I was going to try and get a podcast in last week from the Wardman Park Marriott in Washington, D.C., the site of the first Travel Commons podcast, but I just had too much to do and just couldn't carve out the time to get enough material assembled while I was there. Though most eyes are still on the Katrina cleanup, the folks in the Carolinas here are actually looking the other way, east, to another hurricane, Ophelia, which seems to be sort of just wandering around the Atlantic. It has done, in the past couple of days, a complete clockwise loop out in the Atlantic, kind of, pretending to be a hurricane, a tropical storm, sort of going back and forth. I'm just hoping it doesn't wander back this way before I get out of here tomorrow night. After that, I'm probably headed out to Orange County, California later this week, the home of the tri-named airport, John Wayne, Orange County, Santa Ana Airport. I'll tell you, that's got to be the longest name out there. And any time I go up to a ticket agent and to check in and say, I'm going to Orange County, they look at me and say, Santa Ana? Or if I say, I'm going to Santa Ana, they say, you mean John Wayne? Those guys just got, that's a, awfully big name for what is kind of a small airport. Follow-up items. Hey, thanks to all who weighed in on the new poll, What's Your Favorite Airline? Delta Airlines sprinted out to an early lead, but United, Southwest, and American have closed the gap. I think it's interesting that the legacy carriers have taken most of the top slots, and all of them in various states of financial crisis. You know, who knows what's going to happen with the Katrina-driven oil prices. I think depends on what day of the week Delta is either going to file bankruptcy or not. American had a tough spot along those lines a few months ago. I mean, to the point that they were pulling pillows out of the airplanes. On my counterclockwise rotation through the Southeast last week, I flew three of those top four, Delta, United, and American. And as I said, with the exception of American's sort of silly idea to pull pillows off of all the planes, the airlines seem to have insulated their customers from their financial difficulties, and I think that shows through in the poll results. However, like I said, given the spike in oil prices, you wonder how much longer that strategy can survive. Indeed, you wonder how much longer one or more of these airlines is going to survive on its own. A lot of folks forecasting a new round of consolidation, maybe Delta or Northwest folding in. Anyhow, the polls are still open, so please visit www.travelcommons.com, look in the left-hand column, and vote for your favorite airline. I want to thank a listener, Ed Vauter, for pointing out another travel podcast, the Fly With Me podcast. Ed sent me a note and also posted a comment after the show notes on podcast number 12, which talked about, in that podcast we talked about other travel podcasts. Ed says about the Fly With Me podcast, it features Joe Dion, who's a pilot with a major U.S. airline. He takes along a recording device and collects stories from fellow pilots and flight attendants. It's one of the first podcasts that I regularly listen to, and unfortunately, there just aren't enough for me. He says, it's great to hear about travel from the point of view of the airline folks. I listened to a couple of editions of this podcast last week and thought it was great. Indeed, I'm very jealous of the production values. So give it a listen. I will post the URLs that Ed sent along in the show notes. As always, thanks to everyone who sent me notes at comments@travelcommons.com. That's C-M-M-E-N-T-S @travelcommons.com. Or left comments on the Travel Commons website. Again, www.travelcommons.com. Thanks for everyone. Keep it light enough to travel. Our first topic, different airport experiences along Interstate 40. You know, I-40 is one of the main east-west routes that runs through the U.S., running along sort of the bottom third of the country. North Carolina through Tennessee and Arkansas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Arizona, and into Southern California. And with Katrina busting up I-10 through Mississippi and Louisiana, it's probably become even more important as a trucking and transit thoroughfare. If you look at the two ends of I-40, North Carolina and Southern California, two completely different locations, and in my experiences in the airport, Raleigh-Durham, RDU, and Los Angeles International, LAX, couldn't be more different either. If you remember back to our last podcast, LAX tied Denver for the first place in our worst U.S. airports poll. And in my experiences, it's an honor pretty well deserved. I'll tell you, there's one LAX experience that will stick with me for quite some time, and it was last spring. An aunt of mine who was living in L.A. was near death, my father's sister, and luckily I was already in L.A. for business, and I was able to come back over to LAX to pick up my folks who were coming in. I see my dad sitting on a bench, and I pull up to the curb in front of him. He was recovering from a fairly serious abdominal surgery the week before, and so he couldn't stand up for very long. You know, getting out of my car, a cop runs up to me and starts yelling at me. "Your party needs to be right here," he says, pointing to the curb next to my car, literally to the curb stone. "And they need to be here when you stop, or I'll write you a ticket." I just stopped. I couldn't actually believe the guy was serious. I thought it was a reality TV show. I pointed to my father, who was sitting on a bench 10 feet away, and I said, "There's my party, and he can't stand and wait. He's got a week-old, 2-foot incision running up his gut." "I don't care," the guy yelled, his face turning, really, I was amazed, turning an incredible shade of crimson, and he started writing me a ticket. I got to tell you that to this day, I'm a bit amazed that I did not go completely nonlinear on the guy. I mean, it had been a tough week. My aunt was dying, my dad had just missed dying the prior week before, and now some guy seems to be working on his lines from Comedy Central's Reno 911 television show, writing me up a ticket because my dad is 10 feet away. You know, for some reason, though, I just took the ticket and then went about my business, just, you know, loading my dad's luggage and getting my mother's luggage, and just ignoring this cop as he just stood there and stared at me, turning even brighter shades of crimson. You know, my thought on it was, look, okay, you've given me the ticket. I've now paid for this spot. Why am I in a hurry? I might as well just get all the use out of it that I can. You know, I contrast that experience, that sort of seminal LAX experience, with my experiences during my visit to RDU, to Raleigh-Durham Airport last week. Again, I'm at the arrivals level, but this time I'm now the person to be picked up as opposed to the person picking up, although, you know, minus any 2-foot incision so I can actually stand on the curb. Just like LAX, people are pulling up looking for their friends or family, and just like LAX, there's a traffic cop whose job is to move people along. But this traffic cop is moving the cars along without any drama. He's helping elderly people with their luggage, joking with folks who are on their third or fourth orbit through, you know, obviously waiting for delayed flights for their family. And even lets folks, you know, take sort of, you know, park the car for 30 seconds and run in and check on delayed flights. And I'll tell you, it's not a matter of size here. This guy at RDU is handling about the same amount of cars that I saw the LAX guy handle. You know, absolutely, LAX has more traffic, but it's also broken up across more terminals, sort of 8 or 9 terminals versus the 2 or 3 at Raleigh-Durham. Now, I'll tell you, it's something different, and it's something that I've noticed across a number of airports. Politeness. Politeness requires effort. It requires thought. And I'll tell you, it requires caring about the other person. And at too many airports, I think, the need for additional security is an excuse for laziness. It's easier for a TSA screener to yell at people in line, everybody in line, to take off their shoes rather than look at each person's feet and make a correct judgment. It's easy for this LA cop to just start writing out tickets as opposed to listening and thinking about the situation, about each individual situation. It's too easy to justify 15 or 20 minute security lines 4 years after September 11th as the price we pay for security, rather than thinking about better ways to serve passengers. You know, I'll tell you, though politeness requires effort, it's not that much.
Streets are crazy. lights everywhere, and a baby stares out with motherless eyes, and the long run beauty on fields of war, traveling a lament to the poet's core. Oh, where, oh, where will I be? Oh, where, when that trumpet sounds?
Second topic on today's Travel Commons podcast, a special edition of Classic Travel Stories, recollections from September 11th, 2001. Today's anniversary, 4 years later, can still bring people to tears. But I'll tell you, when you get travel folks together, as you talk through those travel stories, inevitably someone will break the ice and talk about what happened to them on the day of September 11th. They were usually someplace away from home and scrambling pretty hard to get there. For me, actually, I was lucky in that on the evening of September 10th, I was in Toronto and had to be in Miami the evening of September 11th. And when I looked at the flight connections from Toronto down to Miami, they just weren't that good. And so I caught the last flight out of Toronto September 10th at about 10 o'clock, and so got back home that night. September 11th, I was driving into my office in downtown Chicago, and my mother called me on my mobile, saying that she had been trying to frantically get through to me, and telling me what was going on, what she had been seeing on the television. And at that particular time, I was actually driving right past the Sears Tower and noticed a large number of police officers suddenly arriving in front of that building. I was a lucky one. Some folks weren't quite that lucky. My little sister was actually at a mortgage banking conference in Vancouver, Canada, and her husband called her once he saw the planes going into the Twin Towers, and told her to get out. She hopped in her rental car, raced down to the U.S. border, was the last person who got across the border as they closed it. My brother-in-law had luckily reserved a car for her. She actually found three other people who had been with her at the conference, and they all drove together for the next couple of days from Vancouver back down to her home in Denver. Another friend of mine was actually in Manhattan on that day and talks about the mayhem and talks about how he trying to get home. And again, here's another guy who lives in Denver. He's in New York. He and a whole group of people were walking across the Whitestone Bridge to get off of Manhattan, get off of the island, and eventually just sort of walking along till they got to a place where they could rent some cars. And again, three other strangers hop in a car and start driving west. And that's a story that you hear many times over, how people came together, the only way to get home was to drive, getting in a car and heading off and spending the next two, sometimes 3 days together as they all drove back home. Folks from the U.S. were trying to get back into the country. Tell some different stories. Of course, the borders were closed for a number of days, and so you literally couldn't get back in the country. I mentioned that I had been in Toronto on September 11th, 2010. I had a project team up in Toronto doing a project, and of course, I mean, I was lucky to get out, but they had to stay up through the week. Now, there are worse places to be in Toronto, so it wasn't too tough duty. But come sort of Thursday, Friday, they wanted to get home. The project team that was up there came out of two offices, one in New York and one in Chicago. So the New York folks hired a car. There were about, four of them, and they all drove down. And it was not a good drive for them. They got lost. They got, I think, somewhere around Niagara, and then again sort of further down south in New York. They got lost. They got turned around. And, you know, what should have been sort of a, I don't know, 5-8 hour trip turned into sort of 10 or 12 hours. The two guys were going back to Chicago, though. They were smart. Rather than renting a car, they hired a limo. They got talking to the concierge at the Sheraton that they were staying in, and he set them up with a limo, and literally for the same price as a single coach airplane ticket between Chicago and Toronto, they got a complete limo, two guys, One of the guys had just bought one of these portable DVD players, like literally the week before. So they popped out to the store, bought a handful of DVDs, and I don't know what kind they were, and I never asked that question. I just let it flow through on the expense report. Got a cooler, stocked it up with beer, sat in the back seat, and headed for Chicago. It's an 8-hour drive, and they actually said it was great. It was just a straight shot. Really, the only decision they had to make was when they hit Windsor, and did they take the bridge or the tunnel through Detroit? Luckily, they made the right decision. They took the tunnel because the bridge was just jammed up with truck traffic that had been waiting all week to clear customs, and apparently it was a huge tailback. And so they just took the tunnel. Boom, they were home. 8 hours, no fuss, no muss. They actually bought the limo driver dinner in Chicago, and then he turned around and headed back home. My final recollection of that week was looking up in the sky, and where I live outside of Chicago, depending on the flight paths, we can get a good bit of air traffic coming into either O'Hare or into Midway. I remember that week looking up and seeing no planes, and a number of us remarking to one another how quiet it is. And as I sit back and I think about the nearly 3,000 people who died on that day, it is that quiet that I think about, and that quiet for them, that I hope for them and their families.
Life is hell, strange bed in a lonely motel. But one thing needs my mind, the home woman that I left behind. From California to Carolina, she calls me up and there's nothing finer. And when the tears start falling, crying into the phone, within my heart you'll find my pictures of you at home. No matter where life takes me, how many miles I roam.
The last topic for today's Travel Commons podcast, great travel songs. You know, there's a whole subgenre of songs, travel songs, about people on the road. And if you think about it, entertainers spend a lot of time on the road, so it ought to be a rich topic area to mine. All the way from Peter, Paul, and Mary's Leaving on a Jet Plane, written by John Denver. I'm showing my age a little bit. And all the way to sort of Jackson Browne's Running on Empty, and through a whole number of these songs. And indeed, when I started the Travel Commons podcast and thought about bridge music that I needed between topics, I reached out and tried to find a number of travel songs. But I decided in a periodic or reoccurring topic, I'd like to feature some great travel songs, some new travel songs that you may not have heard. The first one is from a band called Evangeline. It's a Glasgow band, and I first heard of them on the Tartan podcast, which is, and I'll post the URL in the show notes, but the Tartan podcast covers the Scottish music scene, and I kind of tripped across it. And have subscribed ever since and listened to it. After hearing Pictures of You on the Tartan podcast, I sent a note out to the manager of Evangeline, Willie Evans. I asked him also to give me a couple words about writing a travel song. And here's Willie's thoughts on it.
Hi, I'm Willie Evans from Scott's band Evangeline, sending good thoughts to Mark and all the listeners of the Travel Commons podcast. Touring's a part of our job that we love. It's exciting, it's fun, it's energising, and it's great to get out there and meet the fans and see new places. The downside, however, is that it can be a bit boring and predictable, with each day being pretty much the same as the day before, and inevitably we all miss our friends and our loved ones back home. The song Pictures of You from our Hardway album is about that longing for our wives and families, and, you know, whether you're an entertainer, a musician, or perhaps a salesman or businessman who travels a lot, then I hope you can identify with it. Hope you enjoy the song. Have a great day.
I think Willie's comments are a good one, talking about both the joy, and I think pain might be too much of a word, but the joy, the upside and the downside of travel, and I think it's that dichotomy that that keeps some of us going, though looking back, and also serves as fodder for some great songs. Stay with us through the end of the podcast, and I'll replace my normal Allman Brothers Band closeout with the full length clip of Pictures of You from Evangeline. Okay, that's it. That's the end of Travel Commons podcast number 14, coming to you from Durham, North Carolina. I hope everybody enjoyed it, especially the new subscribers, and I hope everybody stays subscribed. I appreciate any comments directly to comments@travelcommons.com or the travelcommons.com website. I also check out the comments board of podcastalley.com. So any of those, again, always appreciate your comments, appreciate your pointers to new topics or to new material that I can share with everybody else. And so as we wrap it up, here's the complete song, Pictures of You by Evangeline, a great travel song, and I hope you have a great week. Take care. Bye now.
Is hell, strange bed in a lonely motel. But one thing needs my mind, the warm woman that I left behind. From California to Carolina, she calls me up and there's nothing finer. And when the tears start falling, crying into the phone, within my heart you find my pictures of you at home. No matter where life takes me, how many miles I roam, I close my eyes and I see pictures of you at home. Too long now I've been gone, it's getting harder being here on my own. Think of you and your warm smile helps me through all the lonely miles. From California to Carolina, you call me up and there's nothing finer. And when the tears start falling, crying into the phone, within my heart you'll find my pictures of you. I roam, I close my eyes and I see pictures of you at home. And when the tears start falling, crying into the phone, within my heart you'll find my pictures of you at home. No matter where life takes me,